Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
I have the overriding. I can see all their blog posts and manage their all the roles and all the entries. But the students also can manage their own as well, so you have control over it. One thing I found that was really interesting, very early on, and we were learning to use the blog, and it was really, really different. And kids take incredible ownership over their writing. And I had no idea because, you know, as a teacher, the student turns in a paper, you write all over it in reading, you hand it back, and they're quite happy for you to cross things out and delete, and they were very, very happy with that. Very early on, there was a student who made a post, and I went in and changed it. I made a very slight change, and she was so upset. She was so, so upset by that, and I learned a really big lesson, and I said that in front of the class. I had no idea. I was still acting like a teacher. And on a blog, you cannot be a teacher. On a blog, everyone is equal. And that has been a really a huge life-changing event for me and how I see the web being used in that way. I cannot go in and say, well, you know, Janet, this point here is wrong. I am an adult. I'm an equal like them. And I have to go in and I have to comment and I have to respond as an equal. And you can't go in and edit and do the other teacher things that we're just so trained to do. And now I've got used to it. Now it's a way that I don't post information on it, but if I want, there are things that I want the students to know about. I can disguise them in a post. For example, we're just about to start out presentations, and I went in. And I didn't want to, you know, stand up. So this is how you make a presentation. Here is a handout. This is what you had to do. I did a blog post about presentation styles. I embedded a YouTube video of this Gar Reynolds, who's this great presentation guru. And, you know, the kids, if they want to, they can go and take a look at it, post comments on it, and so on.
When a person does make a blog post and they come out and say something that is inherently wrong, mm-hmm. then you just commented on it in your post then. You say, how do you deal? I mean, TOK is maybe less so than if you were in a chemistry class.
I don't know if I was in a chemistry class whether a blog would be the medium that I would use. I don't think that's necessarily appropriate.
I can see how it would work very nicely with TOK. There is probably not necessarily a way to that.
Any other questions at all? Yes?
Sure, sorry. My name is Gabriela. I'm from Singapore. I'm a local teacher. How did this school look at you moving from a closed environment mode to a MOOC mode? How did the school look at you moving from a closed environment of Moodle to an open website? Do you have any issues with intellectual property rights or privacy or anything like that?
The school didn't know I was doing it, but I was inherently aware that that obviously this people would soon become to recognise that this is from our school. And so we were very cognizant of that. And in terms of the postings, the standard of writing, what we're writing about, at all times trying to maintain a very high standard so that if someone does look at that and makes an association with our school, it is going to reflect very, very favourably. You know, if you go to many, many blogs, people lately, these one-line comments and so on, we've been really, really fortunate that we've had, actually I've had no negative comments at all that have come through. I've had quite a lot of spam that has linked to sites that I would consider inappropriate for a school site, and I delete all of those. Sometimes it's hard knowing what's spam and what's not. If people make one-line comments that I don't feel adds to the discussion or to the thinking, I do not allow it. And that was one of the ground rules we had early on. If you're going to put a comment, make a post, has to expand our thinking. It has to add to the discussion. And if it doesn't do that, I don't let it go on the blog. And the kids know that. So in that way, we've been able to maintain quite a high standard. But at the same time, I have to spend a lot of time administering that. Every morning I go and check it to see what has come in, what I can allow and what I can't allow. And the thing that was really disappointing for the kids, and I later found, learnt this later on about blogging, is you think that everyone is out there blogging, but they're not. There's a lot of people who read blogs, and there's a lot of blogs out there, but there aren't that many people who are actually meaningfully posting on blogs. Mm-hmm. And the big reason for us to go to the blog was to open up to a wider audience to hear what other people were thinking, and maybe other students doing GOK in other classes. And we have a lot of people reading, but they don't comment. And that's been a big disappointment for me and also for the students as well.
GOK is being organized via the IB website of schools interested in working with you.
Yes, we could do that.
There's a ring already.
Oh, is there? Yeah. Oh, okay, that would be fantastic. So that was, that was difficult for the students. So then I felt really, really bad. I thought, we're not getting any comments. There's nothing more powerful than writing something and having someone comment on it. Mm-hmm. And when no one comments, it's like you fall flat. And so what I've actually started to do now that's working really, really well is if there's a post that comes on that's related to, a particular class, because they do a lot of blogging about things that they've learned in other classes, I will actually email the site to the teachers and I say, please, if you have time, please go in. The kids will love it. Spend 5 minutes and leave a little comment for them. And the kids are getting better too at responding to one another. In the discussion thread, it would be very common to have 14 people respond or a thread going on discussing something, much harder in the blog. And I'm not sure whether that's because it's online and everyone can see it and people are a little bit nervous, what am I going to say? I've got to be a bit more careful about how I frame it. You need to spend a lot of time thinking about it, what you're going to put there. And I think that maybe prevents a lot of that from happening. The kids found it so immensely difficult. It looks really easy, and because it's so open, I don't dictate what the kids write about. They found it very, very hard. They're really getting into the swing of things now. It's taken 6 months. And now they're quite comfortable about posting and how to do that. The first blog post I did, I was absolutely terrified. I was so worried, like, oh my God, everyone's going to know, and this is me, and I can't spell, and my grammar's terrible, and my ideas are not too intellectual. You really, really worry about it, and the students were the same. And then once you get into it, it's okay. You sort of make peace with yourself, and it becomes much easier.
How do you use this in terms of assessment, and how do you give the kids their feedback? Is there a standard that you set with them, and they know what comments if you're going? Do you even post any comments to them, or do you just, how do you maintain that
on the blog? You can't. We're all equal.
Yeah, so I do.
You're not a teacher, so you can't go in and make comments. You can make comments as just a member of the audience responding, but you can't actually comment you're not evaluating
the academic.
Very, very difficult to keep track of the posts. You have to go in every day, particularly I've got 28 students posting, so there's a lot of posts.
Do you have them track it, or how then would you use this to not just for assessment, and then eventually you use it for some kind of evaluative or reporting? So how do you do that?
It's assessed it's part of their participation grade in TOK. Very early on, if you go to the categories, there's links, and one of them's about this blog. We posted about what were our expectations, what do we want to see on a blog. I do sort of like holistic marking, so I will look at the blog post and you sort of just get a feeling about it. okay, you know, has it touched on, you know, some of the key knowledge issues in TOK? What are the different ways of knowing? What, you know, what's the standard of the writing? So it's very much a holistic type grade.
And how, what is the response of students been to that approach rather than the pen on the paper? And
They're fine about it, but the thing was with being on the web is that, you know, they'll come along the next day and say, did you read my post?
Yep.
You know, what do you think? You know, what do you... And that happens every day. And so that's really, really difficult as well. Most of the kids generally do quite well. If I'm not too happy about it, I will tell them. But because it's for participation, I don't need to tie it down to an exact rubric. I'm not sure how you could do that, because they're all posting about all sorts of different things. And I didn't want it to be that sort of thing where it's so focused and narrow that I actually direct the kids into write about certain things in a certain way. So in that regard, it's very difficult. And I give them a score out of 10. Most of them get 9 out of 10 or 9.5 out of 10 or 10 out of 10. If it's, you know, full of all these opinions, then I might give them 8.5 out of 10.
So you're going more for fluency of thinking,
yes,
and articulating your thinking.
Correct.
And examining.
Correct.
Rather than, again.
It's a way to develop, and TOK is a way of developing. They have to develop a personal voice, and it's a way of them developing their voice. And it's a way for me to also know what they're interested in. A lot of the topics that have come up, I actually use them as part of the TOK lesson. You know, if it's something that seems that the kids are really interested in, and then I will pick up on those things actually in class as well. But assessment has been hard. And I'm still doing the trip. The only way I can keep track of it, because in Moodle you can have a thread and it's much easier, it's more designed to be a teacher. I actually print it out, the blog post, I print it out and I handwrite comments on it, and then I pass it back to the students. And I haven't been able to find a way to, It would be very hard to, in this very open environment here, the way that it's set up, it's very hard to assess.
Can I suggest that you use Google Reader? Use Google Reader as an RSS feed so you can subscribe to your own blog.
Right.
So anytime a student posts a forum or a comment, you get it as a kind of email and you can then reply. So that would help you a lot too.
Okay.
Avoid having to print that, you can automatically just keep on receiving and feed back to students.
Yeah.
I'm looking into doing that.
Right. Trying to move the students, you think it's us moving into doing new things that's the big problem. The students had just as many problems as myself, if not more. They found it far more challenging doing this. You know, and the thing is, you have to role model. So you have to get on there all the time, and you have to make posts, and you have to make comments, and you have to constantly be role modeling. You need to go in every day and just maintain it and keep it going and keep it fresh. And they need to know that you're also thinking about stuff. And so there's posts there from me, you know, and it'll be me saying, isn't it okay today? You know, I got thinking about. And so then I will be writing my own post about stuff. So there's a lot of work in maintaining. But it's very, very powerful, and I think people use blogs in other ways, and I think this is a very unique way of using it. I think it really works well in a TOK class. I'm not sure about some other areas where it might work so well.
How many students in your class work on this blog?
28.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That was another thing I realised, that trying to maintain that is really difficult. In some ways it's good because you get lots of fresh content and it's really, really interesting. In other ways, trying to keep up with it.
But do you give them a time? I would say everyone said
we have what we evolved. There are lots of different things we tried to get the students to post. They were still off. We set sort of posting deadlines, so you need to post by this date for, you know, your completion grade. But what I found is with students is that they leave it to the day before, and then you'll have 10 blog posts. So trying to make the students transition from that this is something, teach them that this is something you go to every day and you read what is new. What are the students in our class writing about? That's been a big, big transition for the students. And so what we do now is we have posting dates, and the students know it's all on a sort of like a rotation, so we have fresh content all the time, and they know that by this date they have to make a post. Some of them get longer than others. They can post any time they like, but we've got a schedule so that we can keep them, you know, everything on the fresh.
This is something that all teachers in your school are doing for TOK, or is it your own initiative?
My own initiative.
How is that? Is that causing problems to you and the rest of your TOK staff?
No. Hopefully they're going to get involved in it as well. But that's a slow process.
So I find the mistake. All the students are challenging the teachers. Why do you need the student writing a journal
right.
in this class to do the block?
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
a cool factor and it's causing some
right.
issues.
Right.
How we manage that mistake.
Right. Yeah. It hasn't been a problem. At the moment the TOK teachers know that I'm using the blog. I will send them links to things that are interesting. I'll ask them to comment, which they do. As of yet, none of them have actually posted any comments, but I think that will come with time. And I'm hoping that maybe these students are now in year two. I'm hoping now in year one, the year ones will start getting involved as well and start participating. But it's a slow process, and I think people will get to it when they're ready. And a good time, And a blog might sound really, really cool, and it might look cool, but it's actually a huge amount of work for teachers and students. It's a big mental shift you have to make, and it's not easy. It's been very rewarding. For me now, I have learned that it is possible to teach without being the teacher, to actually give up a lot of control, and that I'm actually capable of doing that, and letting them run with something and just acting as an equal with them in this learning process, which is good. It's a good feeling, but it's not easy. It's been a year. It's absorbed me for a whole year to try and make this work. And the kids are now saying, well, what happens when we go at the end of the year? What will happen to our blog? So I'm hoping that the year one class will pick it up and continue with it. So I'm trying to bring the other teachers on board and have a look at it. But you've got to, with anything like this, as Faye knows with wikis, it has to become almost like a little bit of a mini obsession. You just have to put so much energy into it and maintaining it.
I think just in terms of the fact that even though everything you ask them to do, you model yourself and
yes.
do it first, because what you find is that sometimes the things you've asked them to do are so very difficult, even though they're easy, and then you're like, oh, goodness sake. And it just leads itself to so much more discussion.
But I think it's because there's a lot of self-disclosure. You're addressing yourself in public here, and so it really is a huge step. But I would think that as a teacher, it would be an equally challenging thing to write, because if you're that public, then you are opening yourself up. It's
yeah.
like yourself being on film,
yeah.
on the closed circuit, but it's being broadcast.
Yeah.
It's not really.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the students, all the students have, it's just their first name, and this was another thing about, you use your first name only. Some of the kids quickly change to pseudonyms and don't want to use their name at all. They're actually still nervous with other people in the class seeing their writing, although that doesn't work when I say, who's anonymous? Anonymous, who are you? So that's a real problem. You'll notice myself also, I've got like a pseudo pen name, because I'm still not at that really comfortable stage.
Are you Sotero?
Sorry?
Are you Sotero?
No, I'm KJ.
Okay.
I'm still not at that comfortable stage to put Carol Jordan on. I'm just not there yet. And I know some people online and they have blogs and they're just really into it, but I'm still moving towards that transition. And we're all different in the class. Some of the kids are quite happy with using their full name, I still get nervous when they make mention of teachers' names. I go, you know, they've mentioned Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, and I'm quickly checking it. Okay, what are they saying? Is it okay? You know, is this okay to be public on the web? So that still really worries me, and that's why I spend a lot of time trying to maintain the quality. Because obviously, you know, the reputation of the school is very, very important.
In terms of workload for students, if they blog in one class or two classes or three classes, what I hear is, you know, if they have to do one more Moodle or they have to blog, it seems like it gets quite time consuming for them, because it's often an add on to a class, or it is additional work.
Yeah. And in addition to the other assignments.
Yeah, and it ends up, they may enjoy it, but there's a cost. There's a price that they pay in, you know, another 2-3 hours of work a week or whatever it is.
I think what's really important is not an add-on. You know, I think all of these technology tools, they can't be an additional thing to what we already do. It is in place of, and I think that's really important. You know, this isn't a major part of their assessment. It's not an additional thing. It's part of their, you know, participation grade. And I think that is really important, managing a workload. Yeah.
Yeah, I see our IB kids in particular getting swamped by a number of these these kind of assignments.
And that's what I've tried to do, is I've tried to take what I had, an old way of doing things, and do it in a new way. Not doing an additional thing, but changing it. So it's still the same assignment, it's just done in a slightly different way, so you're trying not to add the workload. But when you go onto the web, of course it increases the workload. You're really worried about quality and what people are going to think, and you spend a lot of time thinking before you hit that publish button. Much more so, and that takes time.
You're not really changing the past reflection as part of their employment. It should reflect on more things and include with you again.
Yeah.
Are you considering your blog as something that students can use? I post something to the blog with you again, Cass, and I can use it for both you again, Cass?
You could do. The thing is, though, with the blog, this is what I didn't realize when I started. You know, a blog is open. You can't lock it. Not like a wiki where you can choose to have it private. There is no choice. It is open to the rest of the world. And so I do think you need to think about what the kids are going to be blogging about and how much they want to expose themselves. And so I'm not quite sure how that would work with a CAS reflection. Maybe, you know, would you be happy for your reflections about your involvement in some service project to be on the World Wide Web for everyone to see? And a lot of teachers don't realise that. Is that the best way of doing that? Or would it be better to do a reflection on something like Moodle, where it's personal, it's private, there are invited people who can look at it, the CAS coordinator, TOK teacher, or whatever it might be. And I think you need to consider that. It's very, very important. Distinction, and I was not aware of that. And a lot of people don't know about that as well. You know, people have post stuff on blogs, and I'm quite surprised, because I think there are aspects of security risk and so on. You know, do you post on a public blog the itinerary of where your students are going on a field trip or something like that? And I mean, some places, you know, I just don't think that sort of information needs to be on the World Wide Web where everyone can see that. Or the detailed itinerary of the, you know, habitat trip or...
So given all these precautions, what do you see as the major advantages of being on a blog versus being on Moodle?
I think the audience, you're writing for an audience, so you've got a different kind of style of writing, a different voice. I think there's a visual emphasis as well. I mean, the blog is, I don't know, it just seems really three-dimensional, whereas Moodle seems really flat to me. It's I don't know, it just seems more dynamic. We thought that we would get much more feedback on the blog, and that's what we were hoping, and that's why we went to the blog originally. We didn't. So I think if you're wanting to have discussions with students and have those sorts of things, I'm not sure whether the blog is the best place to do it. You know, if you go into the discussion forums with our kids on Moodle, there are far more discussions, if that's what you want to do, more open discussions on Moodle than there ever has been on the blog.
I wonder if, because one of the things you're saying is that encouraging kids to keep blogging the things you have always needed to read. You were talking about how the way you encourage people to come and join a blog or to add responses is to go to their blogs and post on theirs and link back to yours so that they can see yours and then they're inspired to post.
Yeah.
Have you tried anything in terms of getting from maybe other TOK blogs or other sites and blogging there and then linking it back to the TOK blog as a kind of come and look at my site, respond to everything?
Yeah, we looked at trying to look at some other blogs, and the kids come to me, oh, look, there's lots of TOK blogs out there, but a lot of them are not of the quality that we want to maintain. You know, there are not people in there who are monitoring the content that's going in there. They end up being, you know, moan sessions or chat sessions and so on. So I haven't found anything really useful. We have got links, though, to when kids make posts, they link to other websites and so on that interest them. But we haven't found anything really, really good TOK-wise to link to.
I was just thinking of a site that I think is really happy, but usually runs the psychology blog.
Right.
The stuff that your kids are posting about learning.
Right.
I'm wondering if they're commonly posted about their learning side.
Right.
And link that back to TOK. I'm just wondering if they would, if the kids on that side would come out.
Yeah. I suppose it's just trying to find those connections,
yeah.
Which is really, really important. And so if you know of those connections, that's great, you can make them. But yeah, I agree, that's a very, very good way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Somebody back home can hear what I have to say about a local issue, and that's a really nice thing. But I do think, agree, I think it's interesting to have the kids shifting and putting their work out there as if they're columnists. That's basically, it's like a syndicated column in a sense. So it's good for shaping the voice and experiencing making public, but I think it seems like it would be a lot of work too.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
With anything, I think anything you do on the web, what comes up out there, you know, and I think you need to find what is your need, what concept have you got in your mind, what do you want to do, and then you have to find the right tool for it. And I think that's really, really important.
Middle school, I couldn't see it. High school, I think it'd be a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
Because the kids are able to articulate, and they are thinking in very different ways, and there may be people out there that if someone can link to them, then they could have good exchange, or interesting exchange. Definitely.
I think TOK is really an ideal course for something like this.
Yes. Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing it probably.
Yeah. I teach chemistry as well, IB chemistry, and I've actually set up a blog for chemistry. I'm determined to find a way to who use it in chemistry. It's still sitting there. I haven't found the way yet. I don't know how. I don't want it to just be posting information. I want it to be this dynamic, you know, student created, rather than me, you know, making a blog to post stuff on. I haven't launched it yet because I still don't know how I would use it in a class like that.
If you're not in China, and with this recent scuttlebutt about the formula with melamine in it, then you could have something if it was chemistry related and thinking about ethics and along that line, or questioning, trying to probe and get other people's input. That could be an interesting thing, but you wouldn't really do it.
No, we have to be quite careful what we post, because there's some of the things I just say to the students. You cannot post about these topics here. Mm-hmm. No, period. Don't do it. Because the blog will be shut down, and that'll be it. It'll be gone, so.
I'm sorry, because I'm way out of context here. For science, there was a blog about that where it was a physics teacher. And they had one blog set up, and basically he assigned a different student each day as they were having class, and the students took notes. Every day one of the students was assigned to take their notes and put it out on the blog post. So every day there was a blog post with one of the students' notes, so that was their way of making the notes available out there for all the other students to have access to. So basically one student was required each day to take notes, the others just paid attention.
I've used that with Google Docs, and I found that very, very powerful way of collaborating and sharing notes in Google Docs. Google
Docs.
D-O. Google Documents.
Oh, documents.
Yeah.
I thought you had Docs. Google Docs.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your attention.
This and all Learning 2.08 podcasts are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.